Blog Talk Radio.
Coast at 7 p.m. This is the Voice of Reason talk show with your host, Wayne Cooper, 4 p.m. here on the West Coast. I want to thank you for tuning in with us today, this fine Wednesday. And here we are talking about March the 10th, 2021. Hope that you all had have had a great week so far. And so we are here today to simply discuss, you know, one of the subjects that we are having a national conversation about concerning the transgender agenda. That seems to be what we're talking about a lot these days. And certainly, since we're talking about it, I wanted to discuss some aspect of it. And in particular, I wanted to talk about it as it affects the women's sports, because there is a lot going on in the area of women's sports, and I wanted to address that. And we're addressing that under the title, The Transgender Agenda, and then we're talking about why we must protect women's sports. I think this is a very, very important subject matter today, and I pray that that you guys will just tune in and listen to this, because I think this is really important. You know, when you talk about something like this, you know, I know that it is sensitive in some circles. You know, it's sensitive because you're talking about, you know, a class of people or a group of people. And because we live in this, you know, this time that we live in, the first thing that people generally want to call you, you know, when you're talking about things, either they call you a racist, a bigot, or they call you, you know, depending on the subject. But seeing as how we're talking about transgender, they may call you a transphobe. And so there are a lot of name calling, but I've learned a long time ago that generally when people want to call you a name or call you names surrounding a subject that they don't want to discuss, is usually because they have nothing to contribute to the conversation, at least nothing that is worth listening to. And so you have to learn how to ignore people like that. And so, you know, that's what I would encourage you to do. So again, this is the Voice of Reason talk show. We try to be a voice of reason here. Certainly, I have no dog in the fight, but I want to speak truth to power. I want to call it as I see it. I often tell people when it comes to this sort of thing, I refer back to maybe a baseball illustration. I call balls and strikes. I used to play baseball many years ago, and so I know a little something about that. And so today we want to talk about that. Now, some of you probably are familiar with what is called the Equality Act. It is heating up on Capitol Hill, the Equality Act. I was reading about you know, it today, and because there's different aspects to it, okay? Because there is so much in the bill, and I think a couple of weeks ago I told you I actually read the whole proposed bill. They had it on the internet, and I actually took the time to read through it. It was a long bill, and it took me a long time to read the bill. Now, I'm not going to tell you I read it word for word verbatim, But I read through it in terms of, you know, the major points and how it would impact people. And you know, it's all I can tell you is that it will, the one thing that it would definitely do is that it will impact women in a very negative way. It will impact women in a negative way. It will impact religious organizations in a negative way. It will really take back civil rights. I think take civil rights, you know, freedoms and things that have been gained down through the years, I think that it would take it back. And as a matter of fact, the Equality Act has been written under the banner of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. And I mentioned here a couple of weeks back that I wondered why they did not choose to write it, you know, just as a standalone kind of bill, you know, apart from the 1964 Civil Rights Act. And because they, you know, I think that they're trying to really do something so that it can really make an impact. And the reason I said that, because under the current situation, it would require 60 votes in the United States Senate. And right now, at least, they don't have 60 votes. So if you took all 50 Democratic senators, they would need 10 Republican senators to cross over. And as far as I know, that's not going to happen. So even if you took 3 United States senators, usually, you know, the 3 senators that most people think, you know, that be willing sometimes to join forces with the liberal Democrats is people like Mitt Romney, Susan Collins of Maine. You know, Mitt Romney, of course, is from Utah, and then Lisa Murkowski from the great state of Alaska. I love Alaska. I was up there last September. I was up there with a nephew, and I lived in Alaska for 7 years during my military career, and so I have a great deal of love and respect for the great state of Alaska. And so usually those 3 persons, if there's going to be any crossing over from the Republicans, you can look to those 3. However, there is no indication that those 3 persons are willing to cross over. But even if they did, they would then need 7 more. And I don't see 7 more of those persons willing to cross over. So the Equality Act threatens women's sports on a multiplicity of levels. Now, just to give you also how this has been impacted and why we're talking about it, some of you may have followed the high school sporting organization there in the state of Connecticut, where there are some lawsuits where I think there are several young women in the high school system there in Connecticut who are track stars. And these young women would have otherwise qualified for, in fact, they would have won state championships if it were not for running against transgender females. And so they run against transgender females and they have lost. And as a result of losing, they are, you know, they didn't win the championship. And I guess they were, you know, looking to win scholarships to various universities. And the way I understand it is that their scholarships are now being threatened because they did not win the big event in track. And so think about it. If you're talking about major universities wanting to offer them scholarships, you know, they want to know that these girls are good, that they're fast, and that they can contribute to the track programs at their respective schools. Now, on the other hand, I would think that the track programs would understand that these young women were running essentially against men, okay? I would think that that would, you know, be clear and that they would understand and that they would, you know, overlook that and still offer these women full scholarships, okay? That's what I would think. But, you know, we live in a funny world. But at any rate, these women and their parents have launched a lawsuit so that the state of Connecticut can do something about what we're seeing in our country, and that is to stop transgender females from competing against biological or cisgender women, you know, in high school sports, okay? And so the question we ask you today, then, and let's ask it, should transgender women be allowed to compete with biological or cisgender women? Now, for me, I say that the answer is an emphatic no, okay? I say no, and the reason I say no is because it's simply not fair. Now, we talk a lot, you know, notice that this bill is called the Equality Act. So as you know, in our country right now, you know, we're speaking a lot about, you know, equality and equity and all of that sort of thing. And the simple truth is this, transgender women should not be allowed to compete against biological women. And there are a lot of good scientific reasons. Now, since, you know, the people on the left, for example, always love to talk about science, you know, even when we're thinking about the coronavirus and when we talk about, you know, everything has to do with science, you know, whenever we want to make decisions about things, you know, well, we want to look to the science. Well, we all know that we only look to science when it's okay, but scientifically speaking, that we have good reasons as to why transgender women should not be allowed to compete against women in women's sports. Now, before I dive into it, I want to share this with you. Less than a week ago, I actually took the time because I wanted to just see what people were talking about, you know, on the national level and some of the national, you know, talk shows. And I saw an old show hosted by Megyn Kelly. You know, Megyn is no longer on ABC, but she hosted a show, and it was dealing with this subject. And I can't remember every person who was on there, but she had some well-known people. If I were to call some of the names, you would know them. But here's the point. I think the greater point is this, is that they were asking this very question. Should transgender women be allowed to compete against biological women? Okay. And Cynthia McFadden, who is a very well-known journalist, she was way out there with her. No, she had some thoughts that I thought was just way out there. And let me tell you what she said. I think you need to hear what she said. She says that in life, everything is not always fair. Now, I want you to hear this well now. She says, in life, everything is not always fair. And then she began to give some illustrations. She said, well, for example, there are some people in sports, you know, for example, there are some people who are taller than other people. There are some people who weigh more than other people. There are some people who are stronger than other people. There's always going to be some level of, you know, inequality in terms of the person's physical stature or, you know, or things like that. And boy, I was scratching my head and like, where in the world did Cynthia come up with that kind of information? You know, it's like, no, Cynthia, you're missing something very, very important. Because, listen, if you're going to use that logic, then let's use it. Now, listen to this carefully. We know if you were to take, let's just not even talk about transgenderism right now. Let's talk about professional boxing. We know there are different weight classes, right? So, for example, if we were talking about boxing, there is a lightweight boxing class, there is a middleweight boxing class, there is a light heavyweight boxing class, there is a heavyweight boxing class. Why is that? Because common sense tells us that a middleweight would easily beat a lightweight person, right? A welterweight person would easily beat a bantamweight person, okay? Because I think a bantamweight is around about 110 pounds. A welterweight is about 147 pounds. So that is the difference when you're asking people to put on gloves and to fight one another. Or take a welterweight at 147 pounds, having to fight someone who is 160 pounds at middleweight. That's significant in boxing. Or if you took a middleweight person at 160 pounds and put him in the ring with a 215 pound person as a heavyweight, that is a significant difference, okay? And so we need to use common sense. So we would never do that. So I'm talking about, even if you're talking about a man versus another man, let alone a transgender person. Now, let's bring it back to the transgender person. Now, imagine if you took a biological woman who weighed 145 pounds and put that woman in the ring with perhaps the greatest pound-for-pound boxer in the world in the person of Floyd Mayweather. Who do you think will win that fight? Who do you think will win? It wouldn't go one round. And listen, and I'm talking about even if the woman was a professional boxer, okay, Floyd Mayweather would easily dismantle her, easily do it, okay? And so I thought Cynthia McFadden, maybe she meant well, but her logic and her, her illustration, it was just missing a point. So I say this. Now, why is it that I believe that we need to protect women's sports? And why do I say that we should not allow or permit transgender women to compete with biological women or cisgender women? Well, for a few reasons. First of all, let's note the obvious. Men are physically stronger. That is an irrefutable fact. If you want to talk about science, men have bigger bones. They are stronger. On the average, men are bigger. I'm talking about physically. You know, generally, we are taller. We have bigger muscles. And so men are simply just bigger. They're just bigger. That's the way the Creator created us, male and female. And so men are simply bigger and stronger. Now, let me just say this. Can there be an exception where there's a woman, for example, who's into bodybuilding and let's say, for example, she may be in great shape. Could she be in better shape than a man, you know, who may be her size? Yes. But that would be an exception. That, believe me, a rare exception. But by and large, men are taller, bigger, faster, stronger, okay? And men are more athletic on average than women, okay? So women can be athletic, I'm not denying that, but they are not on the level of athleticism that men are, okay? And I'm going to go into some things to prove this. Okay, men are simply more athletic. Okay, I've seen athletic women. I actually have an older sister. During our childhood days, I was athletic. She was athletic. She was very good. She played softball. She played volleyball. She was really good. And, you know, her build was, you know, she was strong. She had definition in her muscle tone, all of that. But she was still not on my level, okay? So she was not as strong as I was. She wasn't as fast as I was. She could not throw the ball as hard as I could throw it, all right? So she was athletic, but she was athletic as a woman and at the level on average that a woman would be, okay? So men are simply more athletic, ladies and gentlemen. They just are. I know we live in a country where we sometimes suspend our logic and suspend our common sense. And I just hope that we'll learn, you know, not to do that. Okay. And then the other thing is this, men have more physical endurance than women do, really, I mean, on average. It's just that, I mean, let's take it. Like if you were to say, look at a man running a long distance in track and then a woman running long distance, a man would outlast a woman if they were running the same distance. Okay. He just would. He's stronger. The competition that he's running up against is faster. And that man has to train harder because of the competition level. All right. By the way, and just to show you what I'm talking about too, you know, they were interviewing Serena Williams, the great Serena Williams, who I'm a big fan of. And Serena Williams was saying that, no, she would not want to play against a male tennis player. So, you know, when she thinks about, you know, people like Roger Federer or, you know, Nadal or Novak, what's the guy named Novak? I forget his last name. It's a funny name. But anyways, she says, no, I don't want to be, you know, playing against those guys. If they hit harder, you know, it'd be tough for me to return their serve, you know, to try to keep up with them, their speed, you know, me running from side to side to try to keep up with the speed of the ball, the strength of the serve. And, you know, she acknowledges that it would just be a mismatch, okay? And so, I mean, you can appreciate Serena's honesty there. So it's just simply not the same. And even, listen, even when transgender men who have been on hormones, even when they've been on, they are still bigger and stronger than women in average. I was just reading a study that came out of the British Journal of Sports Medicine, and it was interesting because the study, listen to this, the study had to do with the military, the Air Force, and they were doing a study on transgender women. And what was interesting about it, when they were comparing them, you know, against biological women, it was interesting because they discover that, after a year of hormone treatment, the transgender women were still physically superior to biological women. Now, they were specific in a couple of things, and let me tell you this. So here's what they were. So that in terms of racing against biological women, they said that the transgender women were 12% faster than biological women. Get that. They were 12% faster. And then when they were doing sit-ups, right, see how many sit-ups can be done, that they were 6% superior, that they could do more, you know, 6% more than their biological female, okay, could. And even though, like I say, they had been on hormone treatment for over a year. And then another study even had transgender females who had been on hormone treatment for 2 years, and they still, outperform cisgender females. So the bottom line is that no matter how we try to slice this, transgender females or transgender women, if you want to call it, they are simply physically superior. Now, I want to give you some illustrations. I gave a little bit, but look, let me give you a couple of illustrations just so that you can see the picture a lot more clearly, because I know that sometimes this isn't made clear on TV, and certainly the media is not going to do justice by it. But I want to give you, if you're listening to me today, I want to give you really an honest, up-close look at what I'm talking about. All right? So here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about a female world-class sprinter. In fact, I'm going to give you a name, somebody who I know personally, someone who I've been in their home. I know them personally. I know the family. Some of you have heard of world-class sprinter by the name of Allyson Felix. Allyson Felix is known for the 220. She is absolutely fantastic, a beautiful young woman, a wife and mother. She also runs the 100 meters. And so she's won, you know, medal after medal, okay? We've been knowing them probably now about 20 years. And Allyson, you know, is simply amazing. And even at her peak, when she was really at her peak, here's what I want you to understand, the difference in the male and female body. You take Allyson at her peak, a professional sprinter, do you know that a top male high school sprinter could still beat Allyson, even at her peak, in the same event? A high school male sprinter could beat an Olympic sprinter, female, could beat her in the 220 or the 100 meter. I want you to let that sink in. And what I want you to understand, the difference between the male and female body. Okay? Now, I want you to think about something else. I want you to think about the WNBA. Okay? We know about the NBA. Okay? I mean, the best basketball players on the globe. Well, I mean, without question, the best basketball players on the globe, right? The great legends of the game. So now in our country, we have what is called the WNBA. That is the Women's National Basketball Association, right? So these women, you know, played most of their life, go through high school, and then they go to college, and then they get drafted, just like the men do. But I want to tell you the difference in all of them. You take the all-star team of the WNBA, and I take the top high school All-American male team, and they will beat the WNBA team by 20 points. Mm-hmm. By 20 points. And do the same thing with a high school track. Take all of the female Olympic runners, and I'll take the top high school fastest male track stars, and they will beat the Olympic female track stars. Okay? So my time is almost up, but my point is that we must not forget there is just a difference between men and women, and that is by design. So the question is, how do we address this problem? Well, I don't want to rush through it. So what I'll do, I'll come back and we'll give you some concrete answers as to how do we address people who are transgender, whether they're transgender female or transgender male. How do we address them and their desire to participate in sports? Okay, because we do want to be fair. We know we do want them to be respected as human beings, and we want to respect their dignity. But should transgender women be competing against biological women? Absolutely not. So until the next time, this is the Voice of Reason Talk Show with Wayne Cooper. Take care, and I'll see you.